no fly list.
As far as the no fly list,
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI. FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, musicians, and other cool and interesting people of color. I'm Athir.
And I'm Sabine.
And today we had comedian, friend, just all around
chef.
Awesome
chef.
Home chef.
Lifestyle chef who needs to be have
her own YouTube channel.
Truly.
You guys are going to love Brittany Carney.
Woohoo!
Oh, I've been wanting to have her on for a while. This was such a treat.
She's just really fun to talk to. Like, you can just talk to her all day about, like, anything.
Yes, she has such a unique, like, personality and just a very, you know, unique way about her that she really listens, and I love that. I love also, I noticed, like, since we're all, like, three girls, like, no, you go, because we're all
so polite. Oh, it was so cute how polite you're all being.
I know, it's like the opposite of, like, when you're on an all-guys podcast.
Yeah, and then they're like, you're not going to talk.
Yeah.
This is about me.
This is not about you. It's me and my bits.
Oh. But Brittany is, like, one of the funniest people in the New York City comedy scene and all around, I mean, the country. She has such an interesting background. She grew up in Japan and then moved to Philly in high school.
Yeah, and then she started comedy in D.C. And then since she's been in New York, she's just been killing it.
She's been killing it. You can see her at the Comedy Cellar. You could see her. I mean, really, any show. Like,
any
she's
show.
All over
she's
the city.
She's at Union Hall. She's got her hour that she's going
to
be doing.
In June, yes. Please be sure to follow her. We'll put her Instagram in the show notes. But this was such a fun little warm and fuzzy episode. We talked about anime, which was really cool.
Yes.
You know, things.
We talked about bananas.
Bananas. There was a lot. There was definitely a banana phallic theme. Partially my fault.
I didn't mind it. It was
fun. That was going on
there. We talk about banana bread, so that's wholesome.
Exactly. You guys can learn some recipes, what not to eat in the streets of Japan, Pakistan, Palestine.
Yeah. We really teach you some stuff today.
This is really a trip around the world cultural experience. But before we get to Brittany's episode, we are going to jump to our first segment. Sabine, you want to explain?
Yes. This is the No Fly List. No Fly List, where we...
That's right.
I was like, is that what
I
know?
That's it.
Where we mention a name, someone or something that should not be allowed to fly instead of innocent brown people that keep getting on the No Fly List. Okay. So today's No Fly List is a concept.
Ooh.
And it is the Brazilian butt lift.
What?
It should not be allowed to fly. It's killing women or anyone that does it. I don't know any dudes that do the Brazilian butt lift, but maybe they do. But it's very dangerous.
Why is that? I haven't really, like, looked into this.
Well, I'm going to just, you know, what I have read over the internets.
Googling. I know you've been working on your ass in the gym.
I'm always working on my ass. And so it's a big thing for me. And so I think Instagram sends me things about butts.
That
it gives
sense.
Me butt. It sends me butt creams to tighten your butt.
Rude all this, Instagram.
Like, yeah, I'm like, dude, I've got this. Don't worry, IG. And like, so then lately they sent me like a Brazilian butt lift ad, and I was like, I googled it, and it's so dangerous. Like, if any of that fat gets into your bloodstream, like, you could die.
Oh
it's actually so dangerous. And like, think about the people that are doing it at, like, you know, cheaper facilities that maybe it's
not sanitary. It's not safe. They're probably not medically trained. That can be really dangerous. And yeah, why are we also, like, teaching women we gotta take fat out, put fat in? It's like, what do you want from me?
Exactly. Let my fat just be where it wants to be.
Exactly.
Don't tell me where it needs to go.
Yes, I agree. And I guess the societal pressure of looking a certain way, and whoever is contributing to that should be on the no-fly list. You shouldn't be allowed to fly.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny? One more thing about the Brazilian butt lift. I was talking to a friend who is Brazilian, and I was like, do Brazilian women just have, like, bigger butts, and that's why this is, like, a thing? And she's like, actually, not all of them. A lot of women in Brazil get Brazilian butt lifts. And I was like, wait, what? So this is just, like, a thing that's being, like, pushed on all women?
Thing.
Like,
probably.
I was like, this is crazy.
That is crazy.
Just, like, it's a fad. Big butts is going to go away soon. And if you have one, that's great. But if you don't, that's also great.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, like, you don't have to put your life in danger and surgically try to change your shape. Like, we should be teaching women, hey, we all look different and that's great, and we should just accept whatever shape we're in. Mm-hmm. That said, I am a woman and I look at my ass and go, should I do? I mean, not a butt lift.
I
need a Brazilian. Make sure you give me that name of the surgeon.
There's literally 1,000 things you could do at the gym to get the butt of your dreams.
Eat healthy. Just try to work out. Stairmaster. We did that together.
That is what my trainer said at Export one time. I was like, I need a butt. And he's like, Stairmaster. And I did that, and I have somewhat of a butt.
And you'll be building muscle, too, and not just some, you know, fat that's injected. Like, do they take fat from your body and put it somewhere else?
They do.
Or is it a fat, like, transplant?
Oh, my God. I don't know. That just really grossed me out they said that. I think they take it out from other parts and put it back in, but I think it's just really dangerous because if it goes to the wrong place, then you're kind of screwed. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the scientific stuff behind it. I just literally have never sounded dumber in my life.
We keep alluding to the fact also in the episode, we're in like a glass like studio and people just keep walking past us staring.
Yeah, I just looked at people and I couldn't
see. We keep making eye contact as we're trying to like have a serious conversation about Brazilian butt lifts, okay? This is a PSA.
I locked eyes with a brown man just now and I was like, scientist.
A hijabi woman.
She probably knows more about it, actually.
Exactly. I mean, you'd be surprised, like, the number of people, I guess, that get these kind of procedures. But just love yourself. Don't do it. Fly with your flat butt. It's okay.
It's all good. Talk to your physician before doing anything crazy. Talk to someone doing anything crazy. That's all.
And, if all else fails, like, work on your personality. That's really underrated. Get a personality lift, okay?
How about that lift first? Honestly, okay? You can be nicer.
Thank you. Exactly. But you know who is really nice, sweet, and has the best personality? Our guest, Brittany. Enjoy. Welcome, Brittany.
Hello.
Hi. That was a lot of energy right up top.
I liked it.
Oh, I appreciate it because I was just telling Sabine, like, I was asleep on the train here for truly no reason other than it being 2 p.m. So, like, I love the energy. I appreciate it.
That's great.
I'm
grateful
to be exhausted. I guess so. I don't know. You know, like, the train kind of rocks you sometimes.
It does. I'm like a baby. Exactly. I feel that way too in cars. I actually fall asleep in cars, but I can't sleep in, like, a plane or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can sleep in cars, but like on a train, like that's amazing. I'm not at ease on a train.
I mean, I'm not
in New York City.
Brittany, good for you.
I would say probably it's not a bad thing to not be able to fall asleep on the New York subway. But anyway,
that's
we're glad
cool.
you made it here alive. The woman next to me was smoking a cigarette
on the train,
and I was just like, oh, thank God, it's not a guy jerking off. I was
what is that smell?
It smells like someone smoking. Surely, oh yeah, okay, they are.
That's one of those moments where it's like, oh, New York's back. Like, especially last year, there would just be like, you know, whatever, people like no mask, just like eating a bag of barbecue on the train, like that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, the city's back
now
in action.
I love it. Yeah, exactly. Did you end up leaving New York during the pandemic?
Yeah, I went to my parents' house in Philly for like 3 months. And I was actually, so they literally on March 20th, they came and got me from Philly. Like, they, like, insisted on getting me from Bushwick. And then they drove me to my parents' house. And I don't have a driver's license, and they live in the suburbs of Philadelphia. So truly for two of those 3 months, I just didn't leave my parents', like, grounds. I didn't at all, actually.
Wow.
I was just kind of like, who is it?
I love that they came and picked you up. They're like, we're going to get you.
They're very protective and sweet, but it's, like, really,
so
like,
cute.
Truly, I don't, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, I have a memory of, like, they came to get me, and I really hate, like, egg salad. Like, I don't like mayo salads.
Me too.
So you probably both don't like tuna salads.
I don't like, I can't stand
no.
it. It's really one of my least favorite
interesting.
Palates.
Okay.
But more for you. Would you like it?
Can I have your share?
So,
I'm a big fan of mayo by itself alone.
Just by the spoonful.
Yeah, like, yogurt.
Yeah. Top it off with berries.
A little.
And
it's healthy mayo.
I had some
that's so funny.
In my
So my point about the egg salad is that my parents drove. They like freaked out. They like decided to get me, right? And then they had were eating egg salad in their car, and it's like a 2-hour drive. And I got it, and I was like,
was it warm at this point?
Well, I think it was digested, but the air, it was like really permeating the smell of their car.
Oh, no.
And I was like, wait, can we open the window? And they were like, no, because of the COVID. My mom said, no, because of the COVID droplets. So let's wait for a second.
No.
So that's one of my like earlier. Anyway, yeah. So then I was gone for 3 months. And yeah, that was a long, but also like I appreciated spending time with them, but it was a long 3 months.
Yeah. And you have a sister, right?
Yeah. So she was living in LA. So what was hilarious is that she would just like FaceTime us and be like, bye. Like, you know, she didn't
and
have
you're
to.
Like, no, take me with you.
Yeah. They had a totally. They had a lot of like, oh, one of the children is here kind of energy, you know.
Yeah.
But I was going to say really quickly, right before the pandemic, it must have been like late 2019. That was the last time and first time I was in this recording studio. Oh. I was doing Asian, not Asian.
Asian. Yeah.
Hell we did. Yeah.
And I was like sick. I was like, my voice was off and I like had a fever, but I was like out in the world and I went to do a spot after. This was before like
when you gave everyone COVID.
I think I was like
patient
zero.
Yeah.
Patient zero from Canal Street Market. It was me.
I could totally
what
see
what an advertisement. Well, no, I got a PCR yesterday because I thought I had, I'm COVID free.
Amazing. Okay.
But I think it was just either a bad cold or allergies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've really been congested for like years.
It sucks now. No, every time I get a cold or a sniffle, I got to go to urgent care to take a test.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
It's so annoying. Yeah. And then I don't even know if those like box ones that you can take home are they like accurate?
I don't know. Don't they feel like
it feels like nothing?
Q-tips? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't like, real.
It's like a mood ring where you're like, it looks like it's telling me something. Probably not truthful, but. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we both went home too for the pandemic and stayed with our parents. So we totally, I know I was in Alabama for 3 months.
Oh, nice. Okay, same time.
No tuna salads, but it was pretty bad.
Did you have any? Do you have siblings?
I have 3 brothers.
Were they all there?
My younger brother was living at home, and my 2 older brothers are married with kids.
Oh, okay, I got it. So and they're with their respective.
Exactly. Home. Yeah. And imagine if they just came home. They're like, bye, wives. Everybody. Yeah. Because my mom does. They're like such mama's boys.
All couples like really just split up to stay with their parents. I love that so much, though.
I feel like parents would have been really excited about that scenario, or depending on the dynamic.
They would have been like, I hated your wife. Like,
yeah.
This is great.
Oh, man.
You grew up in D.C. or in Philly?
No, I did not.
Or everywhere, actually. You started in D.C., I think.
Yeah, I started
comedy. But you have an interesting background.
I started comedy in D.C. Oh, wait, did you go home? I'm just curious. Did you go home for the pandemic?
I did, and then I adopted a cat.
Oh, in
so
the,
cute.
Fuzzy.
Yeah, my mom was pissed. She was like, you cannot, this is my house. And I was like, well, if you want me here. And she's like, didn't want, like, they didn't care about
it. It's either me and Benicio or we both
leave. Nobody at all. And she hated it.
He's chosen family.
But she's in love with him now.
Now my mom loves him, and she still acts like she doesn't. But like, you know, every time she prays, he's like sitting on the prayer rug with her. He like follows her everywhere.
He's a Muslim cat.
Such a good little Muslim
so
cat.
Sweet.
He's the cutest thing in the world. He hangs out with my dad. Like, he sits at the table like a person. Like, he's the best thing in the whole world.
Oh my gosh,
he's my favorite.
I love the pictures. Sorry, I'll get to my point. And where is home for you?
Oh, Chicago.
Chicago. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So I started comedy in D.C., but what happened is that I moved there before I started comedy for graduate school. And so I, like, had a master's in D.C., and then I started comedy. And then so for, like, many years in D.C., I was working, and then I was starting to do mics, and that kind of, like, grew into ultimately moving to New York. But I grew up, we moved to Philly when I was in high school, and then basically I was born in Japan, and we, like, I mostly lived in Japan my childhood, but we lived in Singapore for a few years when I was in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade.
Okay.
So kind of like, sorry. Yeah. Or what? I'm sorry.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah. I was just curious what took your family to.
Oh, sure. So my mom's from Japan.
Oh.
And then, but she's half, but she was just born and raised there. And then, went to university. Like, she and my aunts all went to college in the U.S., even though, like, they had, gone through high school in Japan. And so anyway, my mom met my dad in college in Philadelphia, and he's from Philadelphia. So then in like the mid 80s, they moved back to Japan.
And you were born in Japan?
Yeah, my sister and I were born in Japan. So my mom was working in finance, so she was like repositioned back at an office in Tokyo, and she was like, I'm going back. So I guess my dad just kind of went.
Did he like it there?
I think that I don't know. I guess I should talk to you know when you know that classic thing of like, you should interview older people in your family because
yes.
So it's that's kind of occurring to me because yeah. I have a few thoughts. Okay, so one is like, to me it's funny in retrospect because he was just like a black dude in Tokyo in the 80s who like learned Japanese. He speaks Japanese. Wow. He taught English at a university there, a few different universities there. So he had a whole life even before, obviously, my sister and I were born. And then mm-hmm. he was, like, an expat dad in Japan. But then like, I have a memory of, like, of something racist happening to my dad when I was, like, 10. And then many years later when I was in college, I was back in Japan my junior year. And so this thing happened where I, like, had experienced a lot of little xenophobic things that I didn't pick up on when I was a child in Japan. And I was also going to a school at the time that was, like, kind of further out of Tokyo, so it wasn't as many, like, brown faces or
live national. Yeah.
Totally. So, anyway, this, like, little weird things are happening, and I, like, told my parents about it, and then my dad was kind of like, this is the first time, and I must have been, like, 20, he was like, oh, yeah, well, welcome to the club. Oh. So, yeah, anyway.
It's like, surprise, you're black, and yeah, this is yeah, how yeah. it's going to be from
yeah.
now on.
Wow. And I think that things are totally changing, like, actually, I'm serious, like, in the times that I've gone back in the past 5 or 10 years, there's, like, more mixed black Japanese kids, like, just, like, little kids around, which means something, you know, they're
yeah.
And then also, like, there's a lot more in public, like, national conversation about, like, diversity in Japan and, like, the face of Japan doesn't always look like this. And there's, like, a consciousness that's evolving. So that's I don't so think cool. I really thought about it that much as a kid. But, so basically I was born in Japan because my mom just moved back and brought my dad.
Oh, that's yeah. so cool. What an interesting, because, you know, as brown people, most of us, like, you got to marry within your, you know, respective brown race. Not
yeah,
even,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
we don't even mix, like, you know,
right,
Pakistani.
Right, right.
Even then people, yeah. like, families get kind of,
yeah.
it's very insular.
I can imagine, yeah.
So
yeah.
it's really cool, like, seeing that. And maybe it's similar in you know, Japanese
yeah.
culture. I can imagine there's, like, that
yeah.
culture of, like, obeying your parents. You kind of live for your parents. And I think
that's
we
true.
Have that.
Like, did your mom feel that? Like, when she was marrying your dad?
Yeah,
like,
this is what I understand. So this is what I understand about my mom. So basically my mom's half black. My grandfather just kind of stayed in Japan after World War II and married literally two separate. So at one point my biological Japanese grandmother, they got divorced and then he married another Japanese woman. So most of my life, they've now both passed away, but I had like a Japanese grandmother and Japanese step grandmother because my grandfather had a type. So
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, just it's like a mid-century like Japanophile. Like you just so anyway.
Yeah.
He what's my point about him? Oh, so he's like from Southern Maryland, and then just like married my grandmother, who was like kind of like I knew her as like grandmother, but I guess when she was younger, like her name is Midori, which means green, and it's like a Japanese name, but she would go by Margaret, and she kind of liked to be like, she like owned some kind of cabaret thing, and she was like kind of like Whoa. Acquainted with foreigners, and to my understanding, so I think it was like her circle was like maybe more international, and then the idea, well, my mom tells me, I never met my great-grandmother, because like, you know how like multi-generational homes. So my mom grew up also with her grandmother. Right.
Right. That's how right. it was.
Yeah.
It
many,
is back in our
Oh yeah.
respective
everyone lives
countries.
Together.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Everyone under the same roof. So apparently, my great grandmother died right before I was born. But then apparently my mom said that she was like always really like welcoming towards my grandfather uniquely. Because she comes from an era that really wasn't that at all. Yeah, like my great grandmother.
Right.
So
that was the first person that broke the mold was that's
I guess so. That's my mom tells me.
Very cool. Do you speak Japanese?
Yeah, it's my first language. Yeah.
Okay. So like, do you and your family, like when you go home, is it more comfortable? Like, do you like, what's the language that you speak?
Oh, you know, basically my mom and I mix it up a lot.
Ah, okay.
And then my dad, it's really cute. My dad and I will just speak English, but he'll do this thing because he lived in Japan for so long that he has like little tics that are like the way he nods or like you know, he like you know what I mean?
I like that.
He'll nod or like little ways that he kind of like in his body language, it's so influenced from just being in Japan. And he also will like sometimes just speak up if he's in the mood. But mm-hmm. in general, my mom and I mix it up. And I think these days, like, I don't have that many outlets for speaking it because I don't have that many Japanese friends in New York.
Yeah.
But I watch a lot of like I watch a lot of like Japanese YouTube shit, and then like I'm on a lot of like Japanese Instagram accounts. So these days I feel like I'm taking in Japanese just kind of through social media and like TV or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but it's helpful.
Yeah, it's hard to practice. To hear
language.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was like, speak Arabic, Ithir. Make sure you're practicing Arabic, as I called him. And I was like, I always talk to my dad in Arabic because ever since I was, you know, a kid, he would pretend like he didn't understand me in English. Or he actually doesn't. I don't know. But me and my mom switch it up. But I think with my dad, he gets he's very strict about like me only speaking in Arabic. And I'm like, I'm trying. I don't have many Arab speaking friends we only also speak in Arabic with.
But do you feel like you lose it if you're not speaking it enough? Because I'm feeling like I went home and I was trying to speak Urdu, and that was the first language I grew up with. It is terrible.
It's hard.
I was at my cousin's house, and my aunt was like, I was talking to my little baby cousins in English, and then my aunt was like, well, we're trying to speak to them in Urdu, and I was like, I'm doing my best.
That's so sweet, though. Yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry, I can't give your children what they need.
I can't
even give myself what I need.
No, that's so real. I think, like, you know how immersion, like, if you're not hearing and, like, using the language a lot, even if it's, like, in your muscle, like, it's still...
You gotta work it.
You really do have to work it. Like, every time I go back to Japan, it takes me, like, a day to feel a little bit more comfortable, like, speaking. Yeah.
I'm supposed to be going to Palestine this summer.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, hopefully. It's complicated with the whole just trying to get there. But every time I go, it takes me, like, a few days. And even then, I'm like, every time I'm like, man, my Arabic has gotten really bad. I just sound, like, super... like with a whitewashed like Arab person,
100%.
And then people hate me, and they're like, they don't hate me. Honestly, they're just like, I remember telling my friend a story last time I was there like 3 years ago, and he was like, Ithir, I speak English, just speak to me in English. And I'm like, no,
you're like, this is for
me. We are gonna get through this conversation in Arabic, and it's gonna hurt us both, but we are gonna do it together.
That sounds really cool. That sounds really interesting, and like. Really, that's such a relatable thing about language, about the human tongue.
Gonna say like, what's your Japanese YouTube shit?
Oh my god,
I actually said that. I was like, what are you watching?
Because
I love anime, but I know there's deeper stuff
So actually it's really funny because I'm gonna get to what I watch on YouTube in a second, but I also, like, I watched a lot of children's anime when I was a kid, and then there aren't that many anime that I'm, like, that familiar with now. But now, it's, like, the reverse is happening, where now I'm, like, learning more about just, like, anime that's popular with, like, Americans or, like, interesting kind of, vintage, I just mean, like, from the 90s and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm getting more into that now because some series are, like, airing on YouTube. Like, for example, there's this, like, really crazy, like, kind of scary, horny one that's, like... So it's called The Laughing Salesman, and it's like little episodes, and I just kind of started circulating in my YouTube, so I started watching it, and I'm like obsessed, and so I sent this to my mom, and then she was like, yeah, I remember when it was on TV, and when you were a baby, and it would freak me out because it's kind of like spooky. She said it would be on late. Anyway, sorry. So that's something that I'm into now, and... On YouTube, I have this whole thing. I really have, like, you know, what's that expression? Parasocial relationship. It's where you, like, feel connected with, like, a celebrity or something.
Yes.
I truly have these to the extent that, like, my mom will refer to them as, like, my YouTube friends, but they don't know I exist. And they never will.
Your YouTube friends.
But I just follow, you know, like, influencers or vloggers. Yeah. Like, I love to cook a lot, so I follow a lot of, like chef-related stuff on YouTube, but also I'll just follow people who, like, it seems like their whole life is, like, just going to the cafe, and here's, like, little, you know, product. Like, there's, like,
it's
a woman.
Like a slice of life.
Yeah,
kind of
slice
thing,
of life
and you get
stuff,
to, like,
vlog.
It makes it does make you feel closer. Like, all those people posting, like, a day in the life of whatever. And it kind of feels like you're in their home and you're with them. So I can see how that parasocial relationship can develop with the way there's no barrier now between us and other people.
It's so weird. It's really, and... I guess I should be, like, consuming more culture, like, a prestige television, or, you know,
who even cares?
I think my theory is, like, you know, we watch so much comedy, like, live, and so I just, like, kind of, when I'm home from shows, I just kind of shut down, and I want to watch this girl, like, paint her nails.
I love that.
So funny.
It's kind of like ASMR.
It's relaxing.
For
your eyes.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'll try, I mean, like, I'm watching the Kardashians. Like, I need anything,
I
like,
love the
just
Kardashians.
Dumb, and, to, like, just... Like, mellow me out. So
I totally
get that. Yeah.
I relax with some true crime.
That's true crime. There you go. Yeah. Highly stressful television.
It's so weird.
Great way to de-stress.
I like really dark stuff if I'm like zoning
trying to zone out. And that's, I feel like you're not alone in that. Like a lot of people do like true crime to wind down or
which
like.
Which is, it sounds insane, right? Like it, mm-hmm. you wouldn't think, like you would think that would actually be. Really, the opposite. I'm distracted because somebody's looking
there. Someone's there, yeah.
We're like in a fishbowl studio, and every time people pass by, they're
hi.
Like,
they're I like, we waving. Should just wave now because they're just always, so fun. We've got a.
It's cute. I think they think that
they love
we're
us.
Famous.
We are famous.
You guys look famous.
You look
oh,
famous.
You look famous, sir.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You're more famous.
You're more famous.
Dude, no, 100%.
We all have really famous energy. They all wish they could be here. Sorry.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, you with the nose rings, I feel like they're like, oh, gosh, she is so fucking cool.
Plus, we're interviewing you, so they're like, yeah. I wonder who that is. Oh.
Yeah, like your face isn't even to the people, so they're just like, who is that?
She's so mysterious.
I'm trying to figure out like what random. I don't think I have it. You know, do you guys? I feel like people talk about what's the word? Like doppelgangers
oh,
of people
yeah.
in media. My joke forever was that mine was James Earl Jones, but I guess I don't think I look like him from the back, unfortunately. So anyway, but. Yeah, anyway.
I had a question about cooking. Do you cook Japanese food or you cook American?
I love
Japanese food. It's like my favorite. Like, cool. I grew up with Arabic food, but after that, like, if I'm craving anything else, it's always Japanese.
Oh, awesome.
I freaking, oh my God. We gotta do.
I don't think I know enough Japanese food, but like,
I mean,
sushi.
Ramen, sushi, like that. Yeah.
Totally. I think the thing about sushi, which I really love, is like, people don't really eat, like, of course, there's so many amazing sushi places in the U.S., and people eat a lot of sushi in Japan, but it's not, like, a thing you make at home, that really, unless you're, like, having a party or something. Yeah. So I think my favorite kind of Japanese food is, like, home cooking Japanese food, because it's also, like, just, like, child.
We gotta do a potluck.
Yeah.
I
love that.
She cooks Pakistani food. I can cook Palestinian food. You can cook Japanese food.
Let's do it.
That would be so
good. That would be such a cool...
Wait, I, like, you should be one of those lifestyle people.
Oh.
Do you watch with your... Yeah. Have you seen her stories?
You are so interesting. I definitely watch.
I don't think I have the, like, what's the word? Like, the, it takes a lot of work and focus, I feel like, to edit. So, it only happened if I had some assistance, and I also feel like I'm constantly... I feel like I'm, like, barely hanging on all the time. You know, I just, like, comedy.
I feel that.
I do fantasize. This is my sick little secret. Is that if I'm cooking, because I watch so much Japanese cooking YouTube, I'll like cook in my tiny studio apartment and I'll like kind of narrate to myself.
I used to do that when I was a kid. That's so cute.
I used to do that when she was four.
Yeah.
But that's good for you, like, Brittany.
Yeah, like I have my Barbies. No.
Your teddy bears.
Everybody time for my small friends.
That's so cute.
So anyway, I really love cooking Japanese food a lot. I love cooking in general.
I mean, you're good at it. When I see your posts, I'm like, thanks. I'm following you. I'm like, oh my God, what is Brittany making today? Like, she makes the coolest Japanese food.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh. This is awesome.
Yeah, I really like to. And it's so funny because I live in a tiny studio and I still like to entertain in there, but it's really just small. It's like, truly my little pod. So my fantasy is to be able to like have bigger dinner parties someday, but right now it's like I'll have like four friends over, you know, but it's nice, guys. Yeah. I like to do that a lot.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. We could also host
that'd be
place.
So,
we'll
I'm so happy to
I also have a small
you're
studio
welcome to mine,
but you don't need
cozy.
Much in New York, like you
yeah, yeah, it's so true.
We make it work.
So do you guys like to cook? Oh yeah, you're really getting into cooking, or like you have.
I've been
trying. It's so cute. I see your post.
Yeah, I really try my best. I mean, mostly I'm using my air fryer, but
that's awesome.
I want to learn more Pakistani food because I'm not good. Like I'm scared of it. Like I want to get better at it. So I've done easy things like lentils.
Cool.
I've got it now.
Oh, cool. That's,
you know?
That's awesome.
But I want to do like the chicken dishes, the rice dishes, like all the more intense things.
Oh, delicious.
So,
yeah.
You know, I want to be able to make those like sturdier meals at home.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds so good.
I'm trying.
I had a friend say this, which is funny, and I since adopted. I'll only God, this is terrible. I'll cook if there's a dick involved.
Yeah, totally.
But then there was a long time where I refused to cook for anybody unless I was like in love with them.
Yeah.
Also because I'm like really depressed a lot of times, and who wants to cook when they're like depressed and alone?
Yeah.
And you're like, what am I gonna go for a full course meal?
It's hard to have motivation if
it
you're
is.
Feeling.
Yeah. But I can cook because I come from a line of wonderful cooks. My mom, we used to have restaurants. So I grew up in a restaurant, and she's
cool.
A great, amazing cook. So I call her up like 20 times when I'm about to make something that's traditional, and I have. Just because it's been a while, but like I can do it well. It just requires a lot of like concentration and focus because it doesn't, I don't do it daily or enough that it just kind of comes to me. Like, I remember all the dishes and exactly like how to spice it and how to, like, there are just so many steps.
Oh my gosh.
But
wow,
I do like to do it, and I know I have like a taste for it. So I know what it's supposed to taste like, and I know if I'm on my, like, and that's all you need is just to know what it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
You can always like mess around with it until you get it right.
That sounds, totally. I really love that part of cooking when you're getting messed around. Once you like figure out like whatever, like the how it's supposed to taste or like the flavor palette of something you like, I really like the play aspect of it, like a lot.
Yeah, really, that's why I don't like baking as much. It stresses me out because I'm like, I've forgotten ingredients and I'm like, well, I can't do anything.
Well, you know, the one thing is I did banana bread recently, first time.
Oh my God, it sounds so good.
Guys, it was incredible.
I love banana bread.
That sounds so good. I don't know why.
I don't like to brag.
Is that a traditional Pakistani?
It is very traditional from the village. Yeah. Banana bread.
They serve it at Starbucks.
Right. Copied us, clearly.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Wait, so easy.
Banana.
Somebody has to make
banana
food truck of that. That sounds good.
Like a trademark that word. Dude, it was so easy. You just take all your bananas that are too ripe and you just mash them with like baking soda, a little bit of cinnamon, you know, sugar, and like a little bit of water, and I swear that might just be it. That's it.
Yeah,
it
banana bread, I feel like
it's so easy.
It's a good, easy
staple, like, or like way to use up.
Yeah, exactly. You can like throw.
Yeah, because like I don't finish all
and
my bananas.
Zucchini bread is good too. Yeah, or if you throw some on there.
The thing about bananas is like you have a whole bunch, and if you do live alone, right? Like you see me too. It's just like I really buy bananas. I like bananas, but it's like sometimes I don't think of the fruit in the world that I buy. I don't think bananas are my like I don't have multiple day.
Your go-to.
So,
you don't? That's pretty weird.
They're
Brittany.
Great for smoothies. I've been freezing them now.
I have so many frozen bananas right now.
True. I have a banana question.
Oh, smart.
Would you eat a banana in the street in Japan, or would that be like, because you cannot do that in I don't think in a Muslim or an Arab.
If you
eat anything that looks phallic, whether it's like a banana or a popsicle, like, or an ice cream, like you're going to get catcalled and you're going to get harassed. Like,
I thought a banana was like, you know, safe. I mean,
they're so phallic.
I mean, they use it
They're so phallic.
Condom,
I wasn't even thinking.
You know, at school, whatever the sex.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have that because I went to school in Alabama, but.
That wasn't just a TV thing? Like, I thought that, like, in high school TV stuff, they put the condom.
I'm sure somewhere.
That's in something. Yeah.
But there's a reason they use a banana.
Right.
Is that a thing that you would be self-conscious about?
So, to be honest, I think that in. I think that truly it would depend maybe on the street. And I say this because, like, I think in Japan there's a lot of sensitivities. What's the word? Either there's sensitivity or sensibility. Both, really, about, like, protocol, like public protocol, because it's a place where there's a lot of
social
protocol.
A lot of decorum it feels like.
Yeah, totally. It's like a very decorum centered society in like so many little ways and big ways, and so truly there's like a expression for there's like an own phrase tachigui, which means like standing eat, and like so there's like a kind of special phrase allotted to standing and eating, which it means that like it's really not that, like, you don't just, it's like kind of like, oh, we're in this little shopping district where there's like a lot of stands, and so like food stands or dessert stands, so in this area you can like stand and walk, or but like certain streets I just think it doesn't look that polite, that rather than like looking so phallic, but also maybe that would apply too because Japan's also like hypersexualizes stuff a lot, but
that makes a lot of
sense. I don't know, I wouldn't be afraid to, maybe I would, it would be one of those like what's that like like read the crowd kind of situation. I think that
read the street,
read the room. I'll read the room, but I don't think I'm afraid. I'll
next time you go to Japan, can you please eat a banana? Report back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Instagram live us. We want to see what's going on. Have your banana and show us everybody.
I will
have a GoPro on my
drink
head.
From a straw because guys were like, "Oh, I wish I was a straw in your mouth." And I'm
so
like,
anything is sexualized. You'd be like texting.
But especially if straw. It's like your mouth touching something phallic looking. It's
I see. I'm sure that's probably the same thing in Pakistan. I've never had a banana in the street, but I'm sure.
For a reason.
And now I know why.
Now you know. It's all connected. This has really become a food
podcast.
I love this.
What if I'm just loving the idea of like other phallic vegetables, like zucchini.
Like a zucchini. I don't know, like
chomping off.
Okay, the water bottle.
A Persian cucumber.
Persian cucumbers are phallic.
They're pretty phallic.
Yeah. Those are good. They're really,
good.
Right tasting.
They're very good.
Sorry, I don't mean a great word. Right tasting?
Yeah, they're bright, kind of Persian cucumber. Yeah. I think it's more compact. It's like crunchy.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I do love
They also actually taste closer to Japanese cucumbers, which I think are similar to like kind of like concentrated and bright and crunchy.
Yeah, probably because it doesn't have all that hormone issue. Yeah. It's supposed to be small and...
Right.
And,
yeah,
the way
yeah,
they're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Some of these cucumbers are enormous,
they're
and I'm
massive.
Like, that feels like I'm eating a Snickers at this point. Like, this can't be good for me.
Like a Snickers cucumber.
Wait. Might as well have a Snickers. That's chocolate
logic. Yeah.
wait, you know those little bananas?
Have
you
those
like are fun.
They're cute. I don't trust them.
Super cute, but I don't really know.
Or
like
placenos, also, like the little.
Yeah. I always want to buy them, but I don't think I've ever bought them for myself. I've just like had them around.
I've had them in like Puerto Rico and other places, like the little tiny ones. They're good.
They're really cute.
Do they taste like regular bananas?
I feel like they taste a little sweeter sometimes. Depending on how ripe, I guess it depends on when they were.
And there's one with like kind of reddish skin.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Anyway.
This is just, are they circumcised or uncircumcised bananas? Which do you prefer?
Like my bananas uncircumcised.
Speaking of which, speaking of circumcisions, no. We actually, we have a little love romance dating segment called 50 Shades of Brown.
Okay.
So this is a question where we post for people to write in their dating questions and we're going to answer them together.
Great.
So Sabina,
are the people that posting in largely brown folks?
Most
of them.
They are
our
listeners, mostly brown dating problems.
But we're in inclusive space. Got it. I'm just wondering.
This one's kind of confusing, Athir. Do you want me to ask that? It's a very specific.
I think I understand. Okay, this is from a brown listener, but basically she's saying that, you know, what are your thoughts on, quote, you can't help who you fall for, end quote, to justify a former good friend marrying your ex. Oh.
It's very specific. That's one of my good friends, actually. But,
oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to stand in the way of true love situation versus breaking that kind of girl-woman code.
Right, the girl code.
I think it's hard because no matter what, even if your friend like doesn't feel the same, like doesn't have really feelings, it's still gonna hurt or feel bizarre.
Yeah.
But I think it's really tough because it's like, sure, I also understand. I think it takes a lot of strength to just be like, well, really, there's no other choice but to just kind of support that they found people that they're connected with, even if I know both of them personally in intimate ways. It sounds really rough.
It sounds rough. The thing that I'm thinking is like, if you're gonna be like honest about it, you're probably not going to be that close to that friend anymore.
Yeah.
And the ex, and you're going to kind of be pulled out of that, of both those relationships, and you just have to be okay with that part. Because, like, I could support my friend, you know, being with my ex, but I'd be like, okay, well, now I don't want to be a part of this. Like, saying
I would respectfully remove myself. I'm like, okay, fine. If you guys didn't do this, fine. Yeah, but I can't be a part of your lives. That would be so weird.
I think, yes, exactly. It's like, I totally, the thing that comes to mind here is like the thing about taking your own space where you're like, okay, cool. I'm just going to like kind of remove myself for a little. And this happened to me, like, I don't feel like going into it that much, but it's like where like I had to kind of, I was like involved with somebody and then he got like seriously involved with somebody that I know really well. And so then he was one that told me and then I had to kind of be like, okay, I'm going to take space from you. And then the other person like, I didn't take as much space from. I kind of took more space personally from the guy in question. But I just really, I don't know. It was.
And it also depends on what your relationship is with that ex, too.
Yeah.
Like, if it's someone that you're like, you dated for a month and you're over them and you guys are friends, then that might not be weird. But this doesn't sound like one of those situations. It sounds like maybe there's still some, like, maybe it was a little more serious or there's more involved. It's not someone that you just became friends with. And it also depends, like, did your friend ask you before, like, hey, this is,
no.
I know you guys dated, like,
no.
Is it weird?
I knew that they were, like, kind of hanging out, but I didn't really think that much of it, which is maybe naive on my part, because usually I'm, like, a really, like, a hawk. I'm, like, very aware of when people are flirting, even if, like, they're not, I don't have any connection to it. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
You're just
observing
I feel like I can, I'm, like,
you're just a little
they
creep.
Have a vibe. Yeah, I'm a little creep.
She's a little creep in the corner, like, there's love happening there.
Yeah.
Eating a banana. Mm.
But, my four little bananas.
Just, like, a bunch of little ones, just keep eating
like,
them,
like
tossing
like
the peel.
Pistachios. Anyway, Yeah. Wait. What
you didn't anticipate it coming.
No, yeah. I didn't. My Creep 5s didn't settle in. Oh. But it's okay. You know, but then the... yeah, this situation is interesting because there's, like... Yeah, it's, like, marriage involved. So that really means that it wasn't, like... Oh, they were just really attracted to each other, and then they kind of did a thing where they, like, wanted to explore. It's, like...
Yeah. That's hard. But yeah. If it's a good friend, I'd still want them to ask me. I actually had this happen. Yeah. Not even someone I dated. I was just... one of my best friends throughout, like, high school and college in Alabama, one of my childhood friends, like, we all started hanging out together. And she was like, hey, was there ever anything between you guys? Like, I think, like, we've been sort of flirting, and he kind of, like, you know, I want to go out with him, but I just want to make sure with you that there was nothing. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, this relationship is purely platonic, but I appreciate you saying that and asking
me. Yeah, that's cool.
That's really nice. So especially if you know for a fact that those two people dated, I think you do owe them, like, at least just be upfront. Just
a conversation.
And I'm just thinking about it. If I was the friend who was going to date my friend's ex, I would feel a little uncomfortable until I talked to my friend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I would feel so on edge about it. Right. And I'd feel like I'm doing a bad thing. And it's not, because you're following your love and your instincts.
Right.
But there's a courtesy. And I think that's just a courtesy thing.
Exactly. Right. And so in my situation, that's kind of what happened. And then we did have, like, a really kind of funny and cathartic conversation about it. Ultimately, it was, like, great, because we really laughed about it. But that's that she felt, like, a lot of strange pressure that she also wanted to work through, obviously, with herself and then also with me. But, like, and then what was I going to say? About that, like, the original idea that regarding the caller about, like, you can't choose who you... What is it? Like,
oh, yeah, you can't help who you fall in love with.
Yeah. Like, that, if people have chemistry, they're going to have chemistry. That's, like, something that I guess, like, through multiple whatevers in my life, like, yeah, people are just going to have chemistry. And sometimes it'll be more profound or, like, more connected than your chemistry with that person. I think that can just happen.
That's true. Also, when I first read that question... I think I skipped over the second part about it being the friend, but I was reading it about, oh, you can't help who you fall in love with, so is that justification to marry the person that you love? And then I was going to say, no, you should not marry every person that you fall in love with, because that doesn't mean, oh, just you're compatible and they're a good person for you or a good person, period, just because you love somebody. Like, I don't know. That was the other part of it.
About. That's a great point.
Yeah, I really agree with that, because it's like, you could love them, but they could be a hot mess of a person. Mm-hmm. Like, and you would be not compatible in every other way. And that's hard, actually.
That's really hard.
I think that happens a lot.
It does. Like, a lot of people, like, that's why there's so much divorce.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, 50%. Well, we love each other. Let's get married. It's like, well, have you looked at all the other things, which is...
Yeah.
Right. In our cultures, it's the opposite. It's like, we only look at the paper qualities and we put love aside.
Oh,
yeah. And then it's like, you'll learn to love
him. Yeah, you'll learn. God,
you'll learn to love each other.
My parents would say that to me. My mom, like, yeah, what's love got to do with
that? Do you guys talk to your respective parents about their marriages or how...
No, boy. I get complaints from them. My mom likes to vent to me.
Really? That's funny. My mom vents to me. Anyway.
Actually, same. My mom vents to me about my dad, but, well, actually, no. She compliments him. She'll be like, oh, he's a great guy. And I'm like,
My mom vents then says, but reading he's a between great those guy. Lines.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
He's great. Your father's amazing.
No, my mom will feel like also like if she does complain or vent, then she feels like she has to back it up with, but at least he's not like, blah, blah,
exactly.
Blah.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay, mom, he's not on trial here. Like, I get it. Like, we're all fallible and we all make mistakes, but.
Oh, it's the same. That's exactly what my mom does.
Yeah. Because they want to save face for your parent.
Whatever that relationship. Yeah. Like the broader family.
What about yours?
Actually, it was funny. This is funny, isn't it? Their anniversary yesterday.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. They made me and my sister. And they're I think in the pandemic, I told you I was there. They really were bickering like a lot. And it was like kind of like the first time that I realized. Because how old am I today? I'm 34. And in the pandemic, I was 32, right? Yeah. And so I obviously had lived with my parents, or I've known my parents for 32 years at that point, but I obviously had never really processed them as people in a relationship. Like, I'd always just thought of them as my parents. So what kept happening throughout the 3 months that I was home was, like, they would just have like weird communication patterns, and I'd be like, whoa, if that were a dude guy talking to me like that, I would get so mad. And, or like, mm-hmm. or like that was toxic. Like, I wouldn't say that really, but I was like, ooh.
You're like, and, you're being yeah. gaslit, mom.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously. No,
but they don't know these terms.
Yeah, they don't know the
familiar. They don't, it's a different cultural.
And it's such a yeah, habit. It's a habit, and they can't like see outside of it because yeah. they're just so used to
and
it.
And generationally, it's yeah. different. And my dad would be like cranky or grumpy or like critical of my mom for different things, and she would be like, like, both of them were doing things that were, I was like, wait, this is all toxic. But they're fine. And they're like, I think really part of it was like, obviously in the pandemic, like the lockdown, like, you know, they couldn't really get, like, my dad wasn't teaching in classroom. He was like on Zoom, and he was just home all the time. And my mom had started to teach yoga, actually, but then she couldn't like go to a yoga studio. So then yeah. they were just kind of home.
And like, well, that'll create yeah. a lot of tense situations.
Did you did you notice that your parents, like, because my parents have the same fights over and over again. Did you notice that, like, your parents would have, like, the same bickering, yeah. like, the same stuff?
Yeah, I think that must happen, right? If you know each other.
Well, it's got to be the same themes that come up.
Exactly. It was, like, the very silly, like, at my house, but it was also just annoying because my dad would be like, your mom never dresses up. And then when she's like, well, he doesn't take me out. I'm like, we've had this fight over and over and over again. Yeah. And it's just, like, frustrating. And I was just like, I can't.
Oh, my gosh. It's
a lot.
Yeah, that really speaks to the fact that some people... Anyway, right. It seems like with many marriages and long-term marriages, there's, like, a friendship that really becomes core, if that makes sense. Or you hate each other or whatever. But it's, like, a combination, it seems like, of, like... like, okay, this person, but also they're my companion, I guess. And I don't really understand it right now. Like, I don't know.
Are you in a relationship?
I'm in a relationship, and it's really nice, but I don't know, like, I definitely, when I think more broadly about marriage or something really long-term, I'm like, oh, God. Like, it kind of, like, makes me feel...
shackled up.
Shackled. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, even though, yeah.
I get that. How long has it been?
Like a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, give it a few months.
Oh, wait, did something just happen? Oh.
No. Like, give it a few months till you don't feel, like, skittish about it, if that's what you're feeling. Or maybe something
I think it's
more...
And dynamic cycle in and out, right?
That's true. Yeah. And, like, the culture that we live in, the dating culture, it's hard to even believe that something is more long-term or it's real or that.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I don't know, most relationships in New York especially, like, I've had so many, like, 3 to 6 month, like, things, and then they don't really turn into relationships, and then it's hard to trust it, and then.
Yeah.
So, of course, it makes you a little bit, like, on edge.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like,
right? I feel like our generation is so untrusting because we've been through so many, I mean, I know, well, it could be any generation, I don't know why I said that, but, like, I feel so distrusting of relationships too, because it's like they're all 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm like, so if something has potential, it's really hard for me to see that.
Oh,
that it could be something longer.
Right. I think that those length relationships too are, like, harder to get over, especially if they end kind of abruptly. Like, I've had a few of these, and then right before the pandemic, I was like, seeing this guy, I really, really liked him. Actually, it was the first person that I, like, really liked in a while. Like, and honestly, the first person in New York. Like, because I'd moved to New York.
Are they in the same?
Yeah.
Comedy.
Adjacent. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Adjacent, but not.
No, actually, I shouldn't say that.
So, what is their name? Who?
Sorry. Dave Chappelle.
Transcription of his. Yeah, Dave Chappelle.
It's actually Chris Rock. Surprise.
Yeah, we still text. I caught up. No. And I was, like, really into this guy, like, a lot. And we really had one of those things where it was, like, really hot and, like, upset. We were kind of, like, obsessed with each other for, like, 2 weeks. And then it mellowed a little bit. And then he ultimately ended it. And I really, in retrospect, I realized that he was really kind of rebounding and really just, like, totally kind of, like, jumped on me without really processing. Or, like, obviously, I wasn't it ultimately. And it was, like, a month of, like, really intense connection. And then it ended. And I really felt so... hurt in a crazy way that felt like kind of physical, more physical than, like, if a breakup happens, like, kind of more gradually, and you're like, maybe we should move from, you know, when you're like, we should move on this, like, oh, or it's more healthy. I just think it felt like somebody pulled a rug underneath me, and that had happened to me.
That's
in, like, 2015. Yeah.
Totally get that. But this is not the same person. This is not the person you're with now.
No.
I totally understand. And given your, you know, your parents have this, you know, interracial relationship. Do they have any expectations on who, you know,
for me,
for you, of like,
so
this person needs to be this or that, or like,
yeah, or like when or who? I think that my parents have never really raised my sister and I like that, and I think part of it is because apparently my mom's father was always like, what comes first are your interests and your like goals.
Wow,
but.
That's so cool.
That's so foreign to me. That's so cool.
I think a lot. And like my best friend from high school is Russian and like grew up in a very like Russian family, but in Pennsylvania. And her mom, we wouldn't relate over this because her mom was really loving and like supportive, would be really intense about pressure for her. And now she's actually pregnant. And so that's the point. But and like, you know, happily married. And that's like really cool. But I have not personally felt the same pressure just from my parents. But it doesn't mean that I think what happens, my younger sister is now engaged. So now they have like a thing. They have like a outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also what's really funny, and I guess my point is that they've never really pressured me or even really had that many conversations about it. They'll just like, if I'm seeing somebody more seriously, they're like, they'll be like, polite or like warm to him, but then, and if they have any little things to say, they don't really tell me. Usually they like talk amongst themselves, and then, but the point is that for the first time, like my sister's friend just had a baby, and my mom went to the baby shower and then like ultimately saw a photograph of this baby that got born. And my mom, like, last week was like, yeah, you know that, I told her sister, because, like, that baby's cheeks were so cute. I want one. And she said that. And this was the first time she's, like, said that. And I was like, and apparently she said this to my little sister, who then said, no, you got to wait. That's for the older sister, who's me. Fully, I'm not.
You got to wait for her.
It's on you.
40 years. Oh, no, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not in this place. Obviously, right now,
for sure.
But that's,
I think that's so normal, though, for like parents to want, you know.
It's been a long time since she had a baby in the house, and now she's like, "Oh my god, I want that."
Yeah, and of course she's getting older, and I'm the age she was when she had me. Actually, but our lives are really different.
Same.
I mean, our generation, where we live, everything is so different now. It moves at a different pace, at different time.
Yeah, like, that's why I don't compare it to our parents.
It's very different. I mean, my mom got married at 18.
And so different,
basically an arranged marriage, like, but anyway, that's another story.
I'm so curious.
We'll talk about it over our potluck.
So
you already mentioned something that kind of alludes to this. Our last segment, it's called Keeping Up with a Caucasian. And this is a segment where we talk about things that white people do and whether we as people of color also do these things. Tuna salad was on there as an example of like, tuna salad. Oh. So you already opened with it.
Okay. And you both were like, no. I was like, I love it.
So you already passed. You already got points.
Okay.
But Sabine's going to read out some categories for you, and you get to choose from one of these categories.
Absolutely. Okay. We got, style of clothes, trending news, phrases or sayings, miscellaneous, brands, activities, if anything stands out. Pop culture, music, food or beverage.
So these are categories of
white within that.
Okay. How about phrases or sayings?
Okay, cool. I think you want to pick one.
Do you speak in sports metaphors or have you?
No.
Round in the bases or.
But
I
feel like that's white. Even if you are somebody, if you're a brown person or a black person and you are into sports, I think people don't use sports metaphors that much, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It is a very white thing.
It is white.
Even if you are, and also baseball is very white. I feel like it's as big.
Yeah. Even though, I don't mean to speak over you.
No, go on.
I feel like something, I truly don't know that much about baseball, and I do understand to an extent that there's a lot of, for example, in America, there's like Dominican players and like Japanese players, but I think that it's pretty, something about baseball is extremely white.
It's so white.
The ceremony of it feels white.
It is.
I agree.
Like the tailgating, the whole thing.
The origin of it is so white that it's hard for me to not see it as like being like that.
Also feels like office jargon that you would just be talking in like sports metaphors or like, right? Like meetings and fine. I don't know. It just feels like, hey, I can't even think of it.
And there's I'm blanking.
I was thinking like, take it to second base.
Hey, like, that's all I think of. I was like, hey, this one is a layup. I've heard that. People said that to me and I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, okay. And in a context, you can get it.
Yeah.
but then it takes me a second.
The idea of somebody using sports metaphors really takes me to, like, just someone's dad at, like, a water fountain in an office.
Right.
Like,
right.
But, like, I can't really divorce my, like,
I kind of want to do that now. Yeah. Like, I think that's actually like, really fun. Just be like, yeah, that was a layup.
Yeah. It's like, what? What? No context.
How I make
no
new
context.
Friends.
Hey, just, that was a three-pointer.
That's actually really funny. It's no contest. And I truly don't even know. But anyway, yeah, sorry.
So you have not. No, no. So you have not. You have not done it.
No, I have not. But I also don't have a good sense of sports.
Neither
lingo.
Do I.
I really don't.
I don't either. I mean, besides tennis, but I don't use any of that.
Oh, cool.
You know, what about, okay, this one I really do want to do. Saying, okay, people that say, because this drives me crazy. This actually drives me crazy. When someone when people say it, I'm like, I don't want to know you. When people are like, say Gucci. Like, ugh, that's Gucci.
Oh.
Where does that come from? Am I dumb?
Okay, no, I think I'm, you know, I don't think you're dumb. I think I'm old. I don't, okay, or it's one of these things. Okay, I don't know. It's funny because it's like one of the...
We're all relatively the same age.
People are right behind. Brittany just got scared of someone coming like, behind her. We're
like
safe.
Two, just teenagers are kind of peering in.
So they're like, who is this?
See, that's the point. There, they say Gucci. I know they can't hear us, but it's like, okay, I associate the use of Gucci... Wait, I'll get to my point. There are many, like, lingo things now that are popular among the children, I feel like, mm-hmm. that are, like, actually have kind of black roots, but then they're co-opted
by white people.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to be, like, woke about this. It's just that I feel like that happens.
Yeah. It does. Right? It does. Mm-hmm.
With a lot of little sayings. And it doesn't mean that I know what they are, that I'm that in touch with the culture, but I'm, like, it feels like maybe... That's one of those things, or it's totally not.
That
and
one,
it's like a white teen
TikTok
thing.
It's a questionable
thing.
One. I don't know about
I've
that
only,
one.
Well,
I've only heard, yeah,
I've only
white
heard
people.
White guys use
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
or, yeah. I know what you mean. I know
or
what you
like
mean.
Douchey guys that are flirting with me on Hinge. Like,
yeah.
That's Gucci. I'm like, now we can't talk. I hate that.
When you said guys, I just thought of like a fine eye bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a finance dude thing. I think that's why I'm annoyed by it.
Performance fleece vest or something.
Can I tell you what that reminds me of really quickly?
Yeah.
This one really grinds my gears. I hate it.
Oh, tell me. Tell us.
Prolly. Like, I'm sorry if I use it, but I really just don't
Prolly.
Like it. P-R-O-L-Y. I really, it's similar.
That's
in a white bro way where I'm like,
I'll just say prob, or I won't say props. I'll text prob.
Say prob.
And they only text it. They don't say it out
and
loud.
It's long, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think. If you say prolly,
out loud.
To bed.
No. Do not say prolly.
Yeah, go back to middle school.
Go to middle school.
Prolly.
We're all in agreement. We all pass.
Prolly.
Prolly.
Oh my gosh.
I could never say that out loud. Maybe I could text it.
Yeah.
If you texted it, that'd be cool. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you texted it, I'd be like, I love this for her. But I think... In general,
I love your truth.
Don't come at me with it. Not you, so be just in general. Anyway,
especially if you're yeah,
like
love
this
your
guy.
Truth,
these guys behind us right now look like they say probably.
They say probably.
What's up? They definitely say probably.
They say it probably. All the time. They
because
probably.
We just oh, waved you know at them. Why? Because they got. I know that this is like obviously it's a okay. No, the thing about those two guys is they look like they're bros, but they like they are like into DJing. Like
yeah,
they,
oh, they did
for,
look
like,
DJ
one.
Bros.
Right,
they did.
Right.
Yeah,
they absolutely did. We should go out and ask them now. What
yeah, because they weren't as fancy as a finance bro.
Let's bring them in.
Bring in the boys.
They have, like long, what was that? Like long t-shirt, white t-shirt, which is a little black font, which I think is like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll text a girl probably. You
100%.
Yeah.
They're probably
anyway.
Yes.
I don't mean to
probably
derail.
Yeah. Amorous.
Does anyone here? Okay. One.
Oh
more.
My God. Probably amorous is like
probably
something about like a text, like a sexting lingo. Yeah. Anyway.
That's so funny. Okay, I've gone on a few dates with guys, and I know people say this word, but now it's just like you know when someone says something and you just pay attention. Now you hear it everywhere. It's normal, but I digress. I've just heard so many like white dudes say that like when they're talking
they
to me.
They just learn it. They're like, and I digress.
Yeah.
Let usually me after a lot of stories.
I digress that layup.
And then like, and like they won't let me get a word in. They'll be like, I digress. And I'm like,
you're like, stop digressing.
Stop digressing.
Focus.
Yeah. Let's progress to the next part of the conversation.
Sounds like maybe they just heard it and then started, like, when you hear something and then keep repeating it. That's interesting.
So that's a word that just grinds my gears.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we can
I hear you.
Go on. And guys, people listening in, please send us some suggestions if you know any, like, you know, white things
so
that you,
th-
yeah, send us some stuff. It's always fun to ask our guests.
Oh, I think that my dad says one of these, actually, that's really white. But he said it since I was a kid, which is, he says two, and I've picked up one of them. One of them is he'll be like, okay, gang, like if he's like rounding up a group to get in the car.
That's cute.
But I think it's like,
that's cute. It's
like a white dad thing.
But a white, dad thing.
I think it's a white dad thing, but my dad isn't white. He uses it. I don't use that, but the thing that I have picked up from my dad, I realize, is that he'll say, oh, just let me gather my bearings. And I've started to use it. Like, I'm sure I've started to use it earlier, like in my 20s or something, but it's like,
you know, that's funny. Yeah, that reminds me, I love the word, I'm feeling discombobulated.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good word. Because I feel like I'm in a constant state of discombobulation.
My dad, he does phrases, but he does them a little incorrectly.
Oh, cool.
Like, he'll be like, I'm just at Marshall's grabbing some Nicks and Knacks. And I was like, Dad's knick-knacks.
Knicks and Knacks is so cute. I love that. I love when immigrant parents try to use, like, American lingo and phrases and they get it wrong.
My mom doesn't really have a – my mom speaks English natively. She does not have an accent. However, it's funny. She'll do this thing where she assumes that something – she'll, like, think that something is pronounced in a way that it would be in Japanese. But it's – so my sister and her fiancé make fun of my mom because, you know, an IPA, like the beer? Mm-hmm. My mom was like, oh, do you guys like IPA? And our sister's like, no. It's Indiana not... Pale Ale. Like,
IPA.
That's funny. And my mom has a lot of that.
That's super cute. Oh, that's great. We should get your parents on the pod.
Oh, yeah.
They sound like so interesting people.
They're cute.
Brittany, thank you. This was such an awesome conversation. Yeah. Where can our listeners follow you
and your
dope stand-up and everything?
Well, I just deleted my Twitter, but that's not really helpful here. So don't go there because it doesn't exist.
Twitter.
I guess the reason I did is I really am a much more avid user of Instagram.com. That's where I post about my shows and everything. So, my Instagram is James_Earlbones, or I guess you can just find me as Brittany Carney on there. And... James Earl Bones, and I'm doing an hour at Union Hall on June 12th. So
Hell
I'm
yeah!
supposed to promote
Amazing.
This.
Amazing.
Yes, so, we will put it in the show notes
cool.
and we'll promote.
Yeah.
So
nice.
That's awesome. And you can follow us at No Fly List Pod. Follow me at Etheria Coob.
And you can follow me at Sabine Comedy.
And thank you, Canal Street Market Radio, for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye, guys.
Bye.